Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Revi'i, Wednesday, Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 5786. That would be the 29th day of Adar, the last day. If we had a Sanhedrin, they would be able to declare this year as a Shana Me'uberet. And instead of continuing to clean up for Pesach, you'd have to prepare for Purim again. It's a situation that I smile about, but most women grimace and screech and can't think about. But we'll talk about that a little in a moment. Let's do, oh, it's also March 18th, my little brother's birthday, and probably some other people also. Let's do Tehillim. One second. Elim Kuf Nun. Hallelujah, hallelu, El Bekodsho, hallelu, Birkia Uzo, hallelu, Bigvurotav, hallelu, Karov Gudlo, hallelu, Beteka Shofar, hallelu, Benevel Vechinor, hallelu, Betof Umachol, hallelu, Beminim Vugav, hallelu, Betzulzalei Shama, hallelu, Betzulzalei Trua, Kol Hanashama Tahalelia, hallelujah. David, Kuf Kaf Aleph.
Yerla Malos, Esoina Yelahori, may I give Ezri? Ezri may Madonai Osei, Shemaim Vaoretz, Ali Tain Lamotraglacha, Ayanum, Shomrecha, Bine Layanum, Velo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomrecha, Adonai Tzilcha, Yad Yiminecha, Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakecha, V'yareach Ba'loyla, Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra, Yishpar Es Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzitzcha Bo'echa, Me'ata V'yad Olam.
Kuf Lamed, Shir Ha'ma'alot Mima Makim Kraticha Adonai, Adonai Shima Vekoli Tehiena Aznecha Kashivot Lekol Tachanunai Im Avonot Tishmor Yah Adonai Mi Ya'amod Ki Imecha Haslicha Lema'an Tivarei Ki Viti Adonai Kiveta Nafshi V'lidvaro Hochalti Nafshi L'Adonai Mi Shomerim L'Boker Shomerim L'Boker Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Ki Im Adonai HaChesed Bar Be'imo Fedut V'hu Yifde Et Yisrael Mikol Avonotav. Mark.
Mi Shemirach Avosenu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov V'Yivorech Es Chayalei Tzeva Haganah LiYisrael V'Sanchei Kohot HaBitachon Ha'Omedim Al Mishmar Arzenu V'Arei Eloheinu V'Halochamim Ba'adenu Min HaLevanon V'Ad Midbar Mitzrayim U'Min Hayam HaGadol Ad Lvov HaRava U'Chol Makom Shehem V'Yavasha V'Avir U'Vayam Yitein Adonai Es Hayavenu Hakamim Aleinu Nigafim Lifneihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmor V'Yatzil Es Chayaleinu Mikol Tzara V'Tzurka Mikol Nega Mahala Yishlach Barachava Atzacha B'Chol Ma'aseh Yedeihem Yadver Sona Einu Tachtehem V'Atarein V'Cheser Yeshua V'Ateres Yitzachon V'Kuyam Bahem HaKasuv Ki Adonai Eloheichem Ha'alech Imachem Lehilachem Lachem Im Oyeveichem Lahoshia Eschem V'Nomar Amen.
Amen. Together. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Batzara V'Ashivya Ha'omedim Bein Bayam Bein Bayabasha V'Ein Ba'avir המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. Let's keep the call it, the saving, and the what do you call it, sharing. You see Birkat Hilanot, or you still see the okay. Okay, I want to start on just a personal note. Anyone who is a FFB from birth probably can't remember the first time they ever made a bracha. I don't. I know that I made brachot before I was able to make a sentence in English. I also have noticed in my own children and grandchildren that when you're very little, the first word of your bracha is ata, because someone will prompt you to say a bracha by saying Baruch, and they will answer ata Hashem Elokeinu. No, say Baruch ata. So they start their brachot with ata, and they often finish it with the word amen, because that's what they hear from you when they get through the bracha. Anyway, my point is that Balei tshuva have, I don't know what you call it, a special feeling that they can actually remember the first time they ate they made a bracha. They've been eating for years and years and years without acknowledging God and without thanking Him. And then they became religious and they remember the first time they said Shehakol Niyah Bidvaro, and it must have been exciting. I don't have that experience, but I do have it with this bracha, because I don't know why I didn't learn this as a kid. I don't think it was till I was a teenager, sometime in high school, that I really got to learn this bracha, which is said only once a year. It is said in only in the month of Nisan. There's a machloket about that, but the standard ruling is that it's said only during the month of Nisan, when you see fruit trees in blossom. Now, the picture that you see here, this one is a peach blossom, and this is an apricot blossom. Actually, it's not, but maybe it is. I should have updated this with my own, but Baruch Hashem, we have a peach tree that is nicely flowering. The apricot tree that we have on our mirpeset is already without its flower petals because of the wind we had a couple of days ago, finished it off. But we have a clementina tree that is starting to blossom. So the minimum preferred number of trees is two, and that's probably because the bracha uses the plural ilanot, and they don't have to be different species. They could be two trees of the same type. I would say if you only find one, you could say the bracha also, but it's preferable to say it on two trees. Now, there are flowering trees that don't bear fruit. Can't say the bracha on those, and therefore you have to know what tree you're looking at to know this is not just a beautiful tree with nice flowers, but that it also will begin to bear fruit sometime soon. Now, the bracha, I used to use this analogy, so I'll use it again, but a little different. I have here a pen. This pen has a flashlight and it has a laser pointer and it has a rubber tip that you could use to write on a tablet or on your phone, in addition to a ballpoint pen, which is very nice. If you give this pen as a gift to somebody and they say thank you, and next time they run into you, they say to you, "You know, I want to thank you again. That pen was really terrific. It writes very smoothly and nice, and I like the thickness of it. And you say, "Do you ever use the other features of the pen?" And the person says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, it also has a flashlight and a laser pointer and a writing tip." I didn't even notice that. So they go back and they look at the pen and they say, "Wow, this is really cool." Mashal lemahadover domeh, to a tree, a fruit tree. A fruit tree justifies for us its existence because of its fruit. When you come to a mosquito, you really have to analyze why God created mosquitoes and what benefit does it have for us. But I don't think anyone has to doubt the benefit of a fruit tree. It's fruit. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something extra. He said, before this tree will bear fruit, it will blossom with visually beautiful leaves, petals, flowers, and very fragrant ones that you could even make a
Yeah,
bra.
I forgot to put it on.
And this bracha was composed by Chazal to acknowledge the bonus, the extra special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of specifically the flowers on a fruit tree before it blooms, before it produces the fruit. It's a bracha because it's once a year, because it's only during Nisan, and because it's very specific to fruit trees in blossom, should be accompanied by a joy of being part of this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And I'm saying these words even in the middle of a war, even having sirens go off and warnings introducing the sirens sometimes. And there's a lot of tension, and then you see reports of, well, a friend of mine in a couple of streets over, his building was hit by shrapnel. There were people whose buildings were much more severely damaged around the country, and people have been killed and others injured. And notwithstanding all of that, I think we have this unique, or I don't know what you want to call it, if not unique, but a very special ability to see good things, even though bad things sometimes overwhelm us. I know that I'm drifting into another example, but I want to use it. The question about making a Shehecheyanu, which is a joyous bracha, during the 9 days or the 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av. Basic halacha of Shulchan Aruch is you avoid saying a Shehecheyanu during a period that's mournful. I like the Vilna Gaon, as you know, but I like his shita with that, which he says you say Shehecheyanu during the 9 days, 3 weeks, the 9 days, when the opportunity presents itself. And if you think that's a contradiction, that's Jewish life. There is no joy that is not mingled with sadness, hence the breaking of a glass at a chuppah, zecher l'churban, and there is no sadness that does not have its bright spot. Tisha B'Av has its nechama of the future. And again, I like the idea behind the Gra's Shita that saying a Shehecheyanu when the occasion arises does not contradict the sadness of the Avelut HaChurban. It joins it in a very special way. So again, back to Birkat Ilanot, I feel that this bracha Yes, even in a war situation, and has something to say to us. The bracha starts out the same usual six words: Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shelo Chisar Ba'olamo Davar. There's an alternate wording: Shelo Chisar Ba'olamo Klum. He didn't leave anything out in this world. Uvaravo Briot Tovot. He created in this world good creatures, good things, Ve'ilanot Tovim, and good trees, Lehanot Bahem B'nei Adam, for the pleasure of human beings. And the minhag, not required, but the minhag is to add these two kapitlach of Tehillim. The Shir HaMalach LeDavid, Samachti Ba'omrim Li Beit Hashem Nelech. And its content is one of joy. That's Tehillim 122. And Tehillim 128 is another one of the Shir HaMalot that are very uplifting and should and could be said to accompany Birkat Ilanot. Birkat Ilanot can be said any time during the month of Nisan. Preferably, take your first opportunity if you have it, and that would be tomorrow, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And I smile now because of the book, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I grew up in Brooklyn, and using the singular, a tree grows in Brooklyn, means you might not have a lot of trees to say this bracha on, and you have to hunt around for appropriate trees. Baruch Hashem, in Israel and in Yerushalayim, we have plenty of opportunities to find lemon trees already blossoming and other citrus, and the Shkedia, which is already past its blossoming in many cases, so that's not appropriate. But you have many other kind of trees, apple trees, peach, and so on, to make the bracha. I remember here in Israel finding my two trees, making a bracha, and then I happened to have been teaching at the time in Gush Etzion, in Kfar Etzion, and my students took me. On this occasion, after I taught them this bracha, they took me out to the peach and apple orchards. And when you walk into one of those and you're surrounded by the fragrance and the view of magnificent flowering trees, the bracha has even a sharper, stronger feeling. What I'm doing in talking about it this way is to encourage you to take this bracha to heart and to be zoche to say it. I think it's a zechut. If a person doesn't say this bracha, it's not like eating without a bracha, which is an aveira. It's just a missed opportunity to say a nice, meaningful bracha. So that's what I have to say about it. There are many places that gardens that a person will put up a sign saying Birkat Ilanot, and will have the text there, and will say, you could say it on, my trees, and it's a very nice kind of thing. And you should be zoche to this bracha and everything that goes along with this bracha. Comments or questions? Now, trees, just to continue on the subject for a little while, let me unshare. Trees have a very significant place in Jewish life. We know this from Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanot. We know it from the Pasuk in the Torah, Ki Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh. A person is equated or made to identify with the trees of the field. We have Bori Pri HaEtz, which we know about, but let me put that into a perspective. Once upon a time, a long time ago, in the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when they came up with the idea, or thereabouts, to make a bracha in the first place. You have to remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you eat, you're satisfied with your meal, you bless God. Chazal said, we got an idea. We're not only going to bless God when we have a full, satisfying meal with Birkat HaMazon. We're going to do a whole bunch of other things. First of all, with an after bracha, we're going to say you have to bench even if you ate just the kazayat of hamotzi, even if you're still hungry. And that's Durabonon. And then they said, and before you eat, we're going to compose brachot for you to say. And after you eat something that's not Birkat HaMazon, there's a bracha called Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, and there's a bracha called Borei Nefashot. And that whole range of brachot, including not only eating, but smell and sight and sound, are all called Birchot HaNehenin, brachot which we derive pleasure from. And there's Birchot HaMitzvah, which are also Durabonon. You know, taking a little of an esrog on Sukkot is a mitzvah from the Torah. Making a bracha when you do that is Durabonon. Counting the Omer comes from the Torah. Maybe it's only Durabonon today, there's a machloket, but when you make the bracha on counting of the Omer, it's Durabonon. And Achilat Matzah is a mitzvah in the Torah. The bracha, Asher Kedishonu v'mitzvotav v'tzivonu al Achilat Matzah, is rabbinic. All brachot are rabbinic except Birkat HaMazon on a full, satisfying meal. So Chazal pointed in that direction, and we, of course, follow their dictates. But I imagine in my mind that when they first started composing brachot, it was not clear how many brachot there would be and how they would go about saying them. You know, Shehakol Ni'ah B'dvaro, I've mentioned this in the past, Shehakol Ni'ah B'dvaro covers everything. And I imagine the committee of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah in charge of making brachot, first day that they came after months of preparation, one of the members of the committee says, I got it. I came up with the idea of a before bracha that will cover everything. We should say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Ni'ah B'dvaro. That's it. And that will cover every single thing that we eat. Somebody around the table said, you know, I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, and I think that we need to acknowledge the ground, the land on which some food is grown because of the pasuk, V'ochalta v'savata uvirachta et Hashem Elokecha al ha'oretz hatova asher natan lach. Now that was talking about Eretz Yisrael, but in order to get Eretz Yisrael into our thanks and acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for food, the suggestion around the table was, let's make a different special bracha for fruits and vegetables and wheat and grain and everything that grows in the ground. So the person in charge here was making notes, and he says, okay, we've got now two possible brachot, Kol Ni'ah B'dvaro and Borei Pri Ha'adamah. How many of you around the table think that there should be just one bracha? One person raised his hand, two people maybe. How many think that we should distinguish between some foods that don't grow in the ground and foods that do grow in the ground, which reminds us of Eretz Yisrael? And there were a whole bunch of people who voted in that way, and that became the way the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah committee was going. And then someone, either in this first day of discussion or the second or the third day, would say, you know, I've been thinking about it, but within that which grows in the ground, trees are very special. more special than what grows from the ground by itself. In other words, you pluck a carrot from the ground, it's gone. You want another carrot, you plant another carrot seed. But an apple, you can pick off a tree and it's going to grow new apples next season. That's something that we would like, or we should like, to build in to our brachot. And the person said, okay, we've thought of Pri Adamah, let's specialize it to Borei Pri Ha'etz. And then another person suggested that the grape was different from all other fruit because wine is made from grapes and wine is very special, and wine is koshel bracha for Kiddush and for Havdalah and for Arba Kosot and other special occasions. And it should reflect something more than just Borei Pri Ha'etz or Shehakol, and that led to Borei Pri HaGafen, and the specialness of grain led to Borei Minei Mizonot. And with different texts and argued on text of all of these brachot, I'm just trying to envision for all of us a process which we take for granted because we've learned from the earliest age, when you eat potato chips, well, that's a bad example. When you drink water, you say a shakol niyah bedvaro. When you have a piece of chicken, you say shakol niyah bedvaro. And when you have potato chips, if it's slices of potato that come from a vegetable that are still recognizable as slices, you say a borei pri ha'adamah. Otherwise, you say a borei pri shakol niyah bedvaro. And an apple is this, and a pear is that, and shivat haminim, and all of that is given to us already done. I don't know how long the process was, but it definitely was a process, because it had to be how many brachot to make, and it had to also be what text should we say. Borei Pri HaAdamah did not automatically come. And Shakol Niyah Bedvaro certainly didn't automatically come. There must have been, and I don't know what other candidates there were for suggestions about a bracha that covers all foods that don't grow in the ground. We ended up with Shakol Niyah Bedvaro. The only glimpse we actually have into that is a Mishnah in Brachot, which actually brings an opinion which we don't follow, that makes a distinction between a tomato, which is a pre-adama, a cucumber, which is a pre-adama, meaning it has seeds and grows in the ground, and a watermelon on the one hand, and a carrot, or lettuce leaves, or celery stalks, which don't have the seeds as part of what we, of the fruit. And there was a suggestion that we should say on those kind of vegetables, borei dishaim, all kinds of grasses. And that got voted down, but at least it gives you a glimpse into a process which was much more extensive as to how we came up with brachot. And every single bracha is like that, not just food, not just smell, all the brachot, and the brachot of mitzvot also. Why do we say al achilat matzah instead of le'echol matzah? Why do we say leishev basuka instead of al yeshiva basuka? And so on, and many, many other variations that you could get from just about any bracha that we say. And you should also remember that brachot we can't play with. You know, the words that we added to Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, and we mentioned Bein Bayam, Bein Bayabasha, Uvein Ba'avir, that we could do because it's a prayer, and prayers are flexible, but not brachot. Brachot are very, very specific. If you or I were to come up with a more clever and meaningful ending of a bracha for drinking water, too bad, you can't do that. That's already been fixed. That's Shah Kol Niyah Bidvaro. So that's the bracha. You want to say something different. Say it before you drink the water, before you make the bracha. Say it after your first sip, and do whatever you want. You want to write a poem about water. You want to write a poem about your favorite barbecue chicken. You could do that, but you can't replace a bracha. So, Bari Pri Haetz to me was a significant recognition that the fruits of trees are more special than the fruit of the ground because the tree is special. The tree, as I used the first example, keeps repeating its fruit year after year, season after season. That already makes it a special thing compared with the tomato and the carrot. And then trees give us shade and are homes for birds to make nests in and give us wood and paper. I smile because there's one of my favorite pitgamim, which I have actually printed on bookmarks that I have made and laminated. And it says, when a person reads a book, a tree smiles because he knows there is life after death. And I always like that. So trees are very special, and therefore they get a special bracha. And not only the bracha on eating the fruit of the tree, but the Shehecheyanu when you have the first of the season fruits. And not only that, but when you have a fruit that's very fragrant that you're not intending to eat at this moment. Let's say you buy a pineapple, and that's not even a pre-eitz, that's a pre-adamah. But when you buy a pineapple, and you're not going to be cutting it up and eating it until Shabbos, but you bought it on a Monday and you want to smell it. It's really a wonderful smell. So, practically speaking, you have to make sure that it smells nice. So you take a quick whiff, but then you make Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hanotein Reach Tov Bapeirot, and then you take a nice smell. And the same thing goes for fragrant citrus fruit. Just as, again, a practical reminder, when you peel an orange and you smell it, but you're peeling it in order to eat it, you do not make the bracha for smell. The smell is comes along for the ride. It's not the essential reason that you're peeling the fruit. But if you are just picking it up and saying, take a smell of this etrog, take a smell of this lemon, Hanotein Reach Tov Bapeirot. Now, I would say that most religious Jews know Bori Minei V'Samim. I don't know how many people remember Bori Isvei V'Samim and Bori Atzei V'Samim. Sfardim do, because every Friday night, they make that bracha after Maariv, with somebody has bouquets of mint for Borei Isvei V'Samim and rosmarin for Borei Atzei V'Samim. But there are Ashkenazim that know those brachot also. When it comes to Hanotein Reach Tov Bapeirot, I would say most people don't know that bracha, don't remember that bracha. And any bracha that exists, it's an exciting thing to be able to say it. The ones we get used to, we say all the time. But the ones that are, oh, I didn't know that. Well, the next time you pick up an orange just to smell the citrus fruit, make the bracha. It's a nice bracha to make. And it's similar in concept to the one that we're talking about today of Birkat Ilanot, because it's a bonus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a fruit. Did not have to smell nice. Well, it's not a good idea that it doesn't smell, that if it smells bad, because then you wouldn't want to eat it, but it doesn't necessarily have to give a smell in order to enjoy the fruit. When it has a fragrant smell, it enhances the appreciation of the eating of the fruit. Do kiwis have a smell? I don't know. Pick a fruit that doesn't have a smell, and hopefully you'll still enjoy it. So all of those. Then there's a bracha on trees, not just fruit trees, but when you see a magnificent forest, that blows you away. Now here, this is very subjective. If you live in a heavily wooded area and you always see forest, then it's no big deal for you. So it does not prompt that bracha. But again, if you're a Brooklyn boy, where a tree grows in Brooklyn and you end up seeing an amazing sight of trees in a large forest, there's a bracha. And if you don't know the bracha, you can't say the bracha. So you have to learn the bracha. Anybody? Shekocha lo ba'olamo. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shekocha lo ba'olamo, that this is how it is in God's world. And it's an appreciation for that. Do you say it every day? No, you don't say it every day. But if from time to time, which is usually more than 30 days, you have this kind of experience and it still has the freshness of a wow, that should be prompting a bracha. Same thing goes for seeing an ocean or the Mediterranean Sea, specifically the Mediterranean Sea, but I think you could say it on an ocean also. And that's,
Oh, it's a massive gracious.
no, Ho'oseh Hayam HaGadol. See, I don't remember that because I haven't been to the beach in a long time. If you live in Yerushalayim and you go to the coast and you see the sea, why am I not remembering exactly what it is? Asher bara tayama gadol, shebara. I have to look that up. But it's not Oseh Maaseh Vereishit. Oseh Maaseh Vereishit is on lightning. Oseh Maaseh Vereishit is on once in 28 years when you see the sun for Birkat HaChama. Oseh Maaseh Vereishit is for shooting star, comet, and a bunch of other things. But Shekocha lo ba'olamo is the one on a forest, the magnificent forest, or lofty mountains. Again, depends on what you're used to. There are people who live in the area of the Rockies in the States, and they always see it. They walk out of their house, they look out their window, there they are. And there are other people who have never seen lofty mountains. And what you call lofty mountains in one place is not necessarily lofty mountains on an objective basis. But there's a subjectiveness in that also. So, with that, hopefully you will be excited enough to seek out and say that bracha. It's also nice to say it with other people, but you could say it on your own. I've had the privilege over the last many, many years of inviting or being invited to take one of my kids and then grandchildren's classes on a nature walk to say the bracha. Last 2 years, two, they've come to my own home where I sit 30 kids down on the merpeset floor and explain to them the bracha, and then we say it. And it's always nice that some of them have already said it before they come. So I have to remind them not to say it again. And that's that. Comments or questions before we move on? Now, in Mirtz Hashem, next Monday and Wednesday, we will have Shiurim. The following Monday, I don't think so. We'll decide that next week. I just know that many people are into the anxiety-filled period of Pesach is coming. 2 weeks from tonight is the Seder for some of us and the first Seder for some of you. And 2 weeks from last night already was Bedikat Chametz, so it's getting there. So we'll see. But Mir Tashem next week for sure, Monday and Wednesday, with God's help. Okay? Any questions? Not about Birkat Ilanot, but
No, I just want to tell you, I've learned, had shiurim on brachos since I'm a kid. You know, I've learned, and never have I learned so much from one person as you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tirza. I don't think we should tell people that I pay you for those things, but a little tip here and there. It's funny, though, because I don't remember learning it as a kid. I did learn it in high school sometime, and it wasn't easy to find trees. I was teasing about Brooklyn, but we had trees on the street, but we had sycamore trees and maple trees, and none of them are fruit-bearing. And I don't know when I had the opportunity on fruit-bearing trees. In Israel, I used to go every year to Ramat Rachel, to their cherry grove, or whatever you call it. And one year, which was a Shana Mu'uberet, by the time I got there, there were already cherries growing and no flowers anymore. And that was very disappointing, and I had to hunt around. One year I actually used an olive tree. Its flowers, I can't say, are the most beautiful you've ever seen. And certainly they don't have the fragrant smell of other flowers, but they are flowers of a fruit tree, so I said the bracha on them. It's a bracha that I try to be very makpid on, as should anyone who learns about them. And I'll tell you something else. If you are into nature, or if you're into biology or botany, then it's more so how much you have to say that bracha. Because to appreciate the flowers on a tree and not say the bracha, or to see a rainbow and say, wow, look at those beautiful colors, and not say the bracha, or to admire and love looking up at the sky at night and seeing stars and planets and getting friendly with constellation names and star names, and not be makpid on Kiddush Levana is a bad thing. It's a serious thing. I don't mean, but I do mean to put it into a perspective of a statement in Pirkei Avot attributed to a Rabbi Yaakov or a Rabbi Shimon. There's two different versions. Hamahalech baderech v'shoneh, a person who's walking on the road and reviewing his Torah learning. Umafsik mi mishnato, and he interrupts his learning and he says, oh, what a beautiful tree that is. What a beautiful field that is. Ma'ale alav hakatuv ke'ilu mitchayev benafsho. The pasuk in the Torah equates interrupting his learning for admiring a tree as putting his life in jeopardy. That's serious stuff. Now there's a pshat. The plain understanding of that Mishnah is when you're learning Torah, you're supposed to be focused on learning Torah, even if you're outdoors, even if there are pretty trees around to admire. That does not get done when you are in the middle of learning. And I tell the serious joke of a Gemara class of kids where it thundered outside, and one of the kids recited the bracha for thunder, Shekocholo ba'olamo, Shekocho u'gvurato male olam, and the Rebbe answered amen, and then criticized the kid for hearing the thunder when he was supposed to be paying attention to his Torah learning, at nothing else was supposed to be in his consciousness. To which the kid supposedly said, well, if you were paying attention to the learning, you wouldn't have heard my bracha. But that's an added part to make it a little, to get Susan and Naomi to smile and Tirza. But the seriousness of it is that when you're learning Torah, that's the pshat of that Mishnah. I like the drash on the Mishnah very much personal and I relate to it in many different areas. And that is a person who is learning or walking on the path of Torah, which could mean in his whole life of mitzvot and chesed and just general proper behavior. Umafsik mimishnato. And he stops that approach to say, what a beautiful tree. That's a flaw. In other words, if a person admires a tree as one of God's creations, if a person admires lofty mountains that a Kadosh Baruch Hu put in this world, then that to me fits okay with the idea of Hamahalech Baderech Vishoneh. He's walking on the road of Jewish life, and he is engrossed in the whole picture of Torah. I'm not talking about now book learning of Torah. I'm talking about the whole picture. So when I personally used to have astronomy, I still do as a hobby, and I could name constellations for you, and I could show you things in the sky to the point where back in my dating days, I had to tone down my observations of the sky because I didn't want the label, which in my day we didn't have, of nerd or geek or whatever. To me, I also smile when I think of this. The worst thing to say on a date, I would picture my date saying, "Wow, look at those stars. There must be millions of them." And I would say, "Well, actually, we can't see more than 2,000 to 3,000 stars with the naked eye, even in the best of visibility." Not the kind of thing you say on a romantic situation of looking in the sky, but that's the astronomy. But my point is that I got into astronomy as an amateur way, way before that I was makpid on Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana is a bracha which is related to the heavens, the astronomy. And when I learned this Mishnah and I learned that commentary to the Mishnah, it dawned on me that I was guilty of mafsik mimishnato because I said, look at those beautiful stars, but I didn't say Kiddush Levana regularly every single month. If I happened to be in shul on a Motzoei Shabbos and the sky was clear and everyone else was saying Birchat Levana and I wasn't rushing to get someplace else, I would say it. But I didn't go out of my way to say it like I do now. Now I follow the Goroshita as soon as the opportunity presents itself, 3 days after the Molad. I go out, even if I'm by myself, and I say it. And I actually spent once 20 shekel in order to be able to say it. The moon was setting, and I needed a high elevation in order to see it, to say the bracha. And the only place around was the Dan Panorama Hotel across the street from the Israel Center at the time. And I went in and I asked if it's possible for me to get up to the roof. And a night manager came, happened to have been an Arab. And I explained to him why I wanted to do that. He took me up to a high floor, led me out to a balcony there, and I was able to see the Kiddush Levana, and I tipped him 20 shekels. So I actually spent money on being able to say Kiddush Levana when I tried. Anyway, I know that I go overboard in words and in emotion when I talk about some of these things, but that's me, and you're stuck with me if you stay onto this Zoom. And I'm hoping that not only will the knowledge be transmitted, but some of the enthusiasm as well. Haven't seen a rainbow in a while, but there have been some, and brachot are very special. Okay. Yeah.
Something about bracha shekachah ba'olamo.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. You're a little choppy.
Hello. Oh, yeah. So my answer is for a beautiful animal
Michelle,
or
Michelle,
a very
Michelle.
excellent
Yep.
dog.
I don't know if other people hear you choppy like I do, but you're choppy.
Right.
Can't hear you, Michelle.
All right. Hey.
Sorry.
You're forgiven.
That I heard.
Can you hear me clear now? Is that better?
It's a little better. I don't know
Or
what's.
still choppy?
No,
No. All right, never
why
mind the
don't
bad
you
line.
put
It's choppy.
yourself on video so we could read your lips also?
You don't want to see me. I've been Pesach cleaning all day.
Okay, accepted. Try your question again.
Okay, you can hear me. I'll try. I just wanted to ask more a question about the shekachalo ba'olamo. I understood from you that you can say it when you go and see a beautiful forest or something that's very mafli. And that I understood it was like if you meet a handsome animal, some person. So, how do one end up? At what point do you say I can do this at any point?
Yeah, unfortunately, I heard the first part of the question and then you got garbled again. So let me just say in general,
Okay, never mind.
maybe this will answer your question even without my hearing the question. There are some brachot that are very, very subjective. There are people, let's take a simple example, people who don't like strawberries. No, they don't hate strawberries. They'll eat strawberries if they're served, but they don't get excited about strawberries. First of the season strawberries for a person who loves strawberries gets a shachiyonu. A person who is not excited about them doesn't. When you see first of the season grapes, I got excited. I haven't had grapes in many, many weeks or more. And yesterday I was shopping and I found these large, beautiful looking grapes happened to be from Peru. And I bought a bag, and last night I made a shechiyono on them because I was excited about them. Anyone else can say, big deal. I could take them or leave them when they're in season. I'll eat them when they're not in season. So you don't say a shechiyono. It's a subjective bracha. Shechiyono, by the way, on chagim is not subjective. I don't care if you don't like matzah, you still say Shechiyonu on the first night of Pesach. I don't care if you don't like the idea of lighting fire because it scares you because you had an incident when you were a kid. When you light Hanukkah candles the first time, you say a Shechiyonu. But it has a subjective nature to it. Shekacha lo ba'olamo, I think it's very subjective to what creates a wow. If your reaction to something that you're seeing, nature, not man-made, but something in nature that blows you away. Now, what does that mean? That also is a term that's subjective, But if it causes you to say in your head, wow, or verbally, then it might be appropriate to say shekacha lo ba'olamo. Now, you always have the back out position. I don't really know if this creates a situation that I should say the bracha or not. So we have a default of Baruch Shekacha Lo Ba'olamo. That saves you the possibility, if it exists, of a bracha levatala, because you didn't say Hashem's name, but you still acknowledged HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Baruch, and then you said the ending of the bracha. I think I've told the story with Shechiyonu for seeing someone that you haven't seen in 30 days and you're very excited to see. My brother had asked this Shaila years back when my father hadn't been in Israel for a long time. My brother was already here. And he was very excited to see my father. And he called up his Rav And he asked if he could say Shachianu, b'shem, with shame and malchut. And the Rav explained to him that on the books, it's a cause for Shachianu. Lema'aseh, most people have stopped saying that for that particular reason. But he says, how can I paskin for you that you shouldn't say it if you're thrilled and delighted to see your father? So he said, Shechionu, with Hashem's name and Melech HaOlam. Usually, in those kind of situations, a person would say, Baruch Shechionu v'kimonu v'gionu l'zman hazeh. That you could be a little easygoing with. You know, sometimes it's even sarcastic, where you haven't seen a person in a long time and haven't thought of a person in a long time, and you run into him in the street and you go, oh, Baruch Shechionu v'kimonu v'gionu l'zman hazeh. It's not the same kind as actually saying, I'm going to say a bracha with Hashem's name, but it's there. Did any of this answer you, Rochelle?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, good.
If you haven't seen someone in a year, don't you make a Mason?
Yeah. Officially, that's on the books. And by the way, it's if you haven't seen him in a year and haven't communicated with him in a year, which means no emails and no Zoom and no WhatsApp calls. Then, now, do people do that? I would say they would mostly do it without shame and malchut. Can you? It's hard for me to fault you for it because it's official, it's on the books. But, you know, I would say Baruch Mechaye HaMeitim says, makes the point, and it depends on what the reason that you're saying it is. You're saying it by saying, hey, I haven't seen you in such a long time. That's one thing. And wow, I'm so glad to see you. It's been so long since we've spoken, and that's a different thing. So you have to be a little flexible. When in doubt, you have to err and caution by not saying Hashem's name and not making a bracha lovatala possibly, but don't overdo that because we Ashkenazim tend to say Hashem a lot when we can actually be saying God's name, like when you're quoting a whole pasuk or singing zmirot, and you have to hit a proper balance. So that's another topic for itself. I didn't really think the whole time would go with brachot, but I don't mind because I like talking about brachot and encouraging people about brachot. But next week we will focus on Pesach and the Haggadah. And as you know from past years, my goal is, since I can't invite you each and all to my Seder, I'd like to share with you some Seder comments, which I might use at my Seder, which now you will be able to use at your Seder, and hopefully enhance the experience for you and for others. That's it.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you very much, Phil.
You're welcome a lot.